Hindsight, said Attorney General Michael Garrity in his press conference Thursday, is 20/20.
As I said, if he has some inkling that he was capable of or inclined to commit these horrendous crimes, obviously it would have been handled differently. But we didn't. I don't think it's reasonable to suggest we should have, given his prior criminal history.
But Geriactive's prior criminal history is exactly what's come under scrutiny, as many seek answers as to how and why Active was on the streets on May 25th, the day he's alleged to have murdered Tutch Shea and Soren Sreep and raped their 2-year-old great-granddaughter. During his press conference, Garrity walked reporters through Active's rather lengthy criminal history, full of plea bargains, parole, and probation violations, which create a very confusing record. The focus is on a 2007 case where Active was convicted of giving alcohol to a minor in the dry village of Togiak, which was a felony, and the 2009 case where he broke into a Togiak home and began sexually assaulting an 11-year-old girl, then assaulting her and her mother as they tried to stop him. After a thorough review, Garrity says that they found there was one substantial mistake that was made that could have changed whether or not Active would have been in prison longer than his May 25th release date.
Upon a review of the recent review of the 2009 case, we discovered that the plea agreement may have been inconsistent with the law. Instead of treating Mr. Active as having committed a prior felony for which the presumptive sentencing ranges are higher, the plea agreement treated Mr. Active as a first-time felony offender. As I mentioned previously, his 2007 conviction for furnishing alcohol to a minor in a local option community was a Class C felony.
What that means is that Active's sentence for his more serious crimes committed in 2009 was not accurately calculated to reflect the fact that he was already a convicted felon from the 2007 case. His sentence, said Garrity, should have been longer.
He was in fact subject to a presumptive sentencing term of 8 to 15 years and not the 2 to 12 years as the plea agreement assumed. In the end, the Department of Law, the Department of Corrections, and the sentencing judge failed to identify Mr. Active's prior felony conviction for purposes of calculating the applicable presumptive sentencing term.
Based on his plea agreement with state prosecutors, Active was given 4 years in jail for breaking into the Togiak home and beginning to sexually assault the 11-year-old girl in 2009. He was released early, then violated conditions of his release on several occasions, each time ending up back in jail. When he was released on Saturday, May 25th, the day of the murders, he had finished serving time for a probation violation. He was supposed to check in with his probation officer that day, but it was a 3-day weekend, and he wouldn't have checked in until the following Tuesday. Because the outcome of most of Active's prior cases are the result of plea bargains that achieve dropped charges and reduced sentences, Garrity has ordered a review of how the state handles its plea negotiations. Additionally, the Department of Corrections has ordered a full audit of Active's case. Still, Garrity says there was no way to see what was coming.
We cannot predict people's behavior. The only prior sexually related offense committed by Mr. Active was a 2009 incident. I do not believe it is reasonable to suggest that his prior criminal history was a precursor or predictive of the horrendous crimes he is alleged to have committed on May 25.
The severity of the murders has placed the Department of Law under intense scrutiny in the past 2 weeks, and Garrity said he'd respond to and work with Alaska lawmakers who've raised concerns about gaps in the system. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.